This is the final whistle on Ocean FM as the ball is thrown in on the Donegal Senior Football Championship this weekend. It's been a special week for one club celebrating its centenary. We pay a visit to Kilcar's celebration banquet marking 100 years of Gaelic football in Towney. From Kilcar to Kent Park, we speak to some of the participants in this year's Cool Ella Camp at St Mary's GA Club in Sligo. And ahead of league finals weekend in Sligo LGFA, we'll hear from some of the club players at this week's Connacht Gold Adult Club Championship launch for 2024. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan, and to contact us, it's 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address, and you'll find us on X as well, at Ocean FM Sport. Well, in Donegal, the 2024 Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Football Championship starts this weekend with four round one matches on Saturday and four round one matches on Sunday. Kilcar make their start in Letterkenny on Saturday afternoon against one of the championship contenders, St Hunan's. That game comes at the end of a special 7 days for Kilcar. The club has been celebrating its 100th birthday with a special centenary day of celebration last weekend at the club ground in Towney, and then a celebration banquet in the Blue Haven on Saturday night. 500 guests gathered, including GAA President Jarlath Burns, Ulster GAA Secretary Brian McAvoy, and Donegal GAA Chairperson Mary Coughlin. And many of the key club connections from home and abroad were there too. We're going to hear from some of them now, beginning with one of the club historians, Charlie O'Donnell. Here's what the centenary celebrations in Kilcar meant to him.
It means an enormous amount. It shows that the people of the community of Kilcar are really behind the club, and the club are part of the community. And it's very obvious there tonight, the pride that the people of Kilcar have in their local club. And in, especially if you look back at the number of players that played for the county and won All-Ireland medals and Ulster Championship medals and that, and you know that the club are there when you need them. And like, we've put all kinds of developments into the football pitch in Towney and in the dressing rooms and club rooms and everything else, and we never had to ask twice. People came up with the money, came money in from overseas, people that hadn't been home for years and knew what the club meant to the local community were prepared to contribute, and that means an awful lot to the club.
I'm not from this parish, but whenever I or people in the broadcasting or media profession are looking for info on Kilcar, people locally would suggest to us, well, have you checked with Charlie O'Donnell? Are you the go-to source of information?
Well, I don't know. I've a huge interest in history, and I've always collected bits and pieces of history all my life. I mean, from the time I was a teenager, I would have collected match reports, photographs, interviews with people, and I kept all those. Nowadays, it's a lot easier because if you're looking back at history, you can get all the local newspapers online, and they're all there. But I would have had the originals because the online wasn't available at that stage. Now you can do all kinds of researches online, and even there in our history at the moment, we were checking out on people that had played for the club way back over the years, and they came, as you heard there, one person came from Belmullet, and it took me about a month to find out exactly where he came from, but I found him, and he came from Belmullet, and he was a local guard, and it was fantastic.
So you're like a Kilcar detective tracking down these stories.
You have to be. I mean, if you're in the business of putting history together, you need to be a detective. You need to be able to try and dig out whatever you can. But the other thing, you need to be very careful as well, because there are times when you cannot presume anything. You have to make sure that your facts are correct. And we've come across that on a number of occasions where names got mixed up, and we presume that one person was another person. But what we do is we try as best as we can to try and check that. And that came to the fore when we were trying to find who our founding members were. And we had difficulty with one particular member, but we found them, and we were able to. We had a person named who actually wasn't a founding member, whose name was associated with another club in the county, but we presumed it was our man, but it wasn't. So you have to be very careful. You have to make sure that the sources you get are good. And we're very lucky. We have a number of people in Kilcar who have got fantastic memories of games and can tell you about a block that somebody made on the edge of a square in 1960, you know, which is unbelievable. And it's great to be part of that. We have a little history organization group put together, and we meet every Wednesday night, and it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
What do you think Kilcar looked and felt like back in 1924 from what you've been able to glean from the records?
It was a very, very difficult place. You must remember we were after coming out of the War of Independence, we were after coming out of the Civil War, and the Civil War had a huge effect on Kilcar because it split the parish. And in the War of Independence as well, there was quite a number of people from Kilcar interred in various British jails. And one of our members, Joe McDevitt, was actually in four different British jails at one stage. And he was on the run for a long number of years. And the reason he was on the run was that he was passionate about Ireland. He was passionate about freedom. He was passionate about our national identity. And he was especially passionate about our Irish language. And the remarkable thing about him, after the War of Independence, after the Civil War, he became part of Clonthopoblachta, as it was at the time. There was another gentleman in Kilcar at that time called Micheál Og McFadden. He was Fine Gael, or ended up in Fine Gael. But the remarkable thing about the two of them, even though they were in different parties, the first time that Micheál Og McFadden was elected as a county councillor, it was our founder, Joe McDevitt, who made his victory speech. And he was of a completely different party. And the reason he did that is because this man was from Kilcar and he spoke Irish. And people like that TD, Micheál Og McFadden, never spoke of a word of English in the Dáil. And even though Fine Gael went out of power, when De Valera took over, Micheál Og McFadden, because he never spoke any English in the Dáil, formed a fantastic relationship with De Valera. And any time he wanted anything, he didn't go through the Dáil. He knocked on De Valera's door and they sorted it out among themselves. It's a remarkable story, you know, of what, you know, somebody who was that bright, that knew the direction, didn't actually use politics, used relationships, used the love of the language and the love of Ireland in order to get something for his own native parish.
Well, even from that one story, Charlie, I can hear your passion for this club, this place, and this from a man who technically was born in Ardra, am I right in thinking?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I was born in Ardra, and I won my first championship medal with Ardra, playing at an under-14 championship in 1962. I wasn't on the starting 15, but I was on the subs. Now, that's a long time ago, and that's a medal that I'm very proud of.
Are you conflicted then when Kilcar play Ardra these days?
Not these days, no. It's too far back. I still have a great love for Ardra. I mean, you can take the, as they say, you can take the person out of Ardra. Difficult to take Ardra out of the person. But my first loyalty, I suppose, at this stage is Kilcar, because Kilcar has been very good to me. And I've worked here since 1974, earned my livelihood here, raised a family here, and it's fantastic. It's a great place to live. I mean, where else would you want to be on a Sunday afternoon than lying out on the beach in Muckross?
Martin McHugh, your home club Kilcar at 100. What are the emotions for someone like you on a night like this?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Austin, I have to say. I mean, I'm blown away with it all. I mean, the crowd that's turned up and everything else. I mean, people away from home's come back from this and everything else. Normally, you know, we'll be in county finals and everything else, there'll come good crowds home, but I've never seen anything like this here. And it just really shows what the club means to people, especially people away from home and everything else. And sometimes we don't appreciate that enough, what it means to everybody and, you know, we're doing. And, you know, it's great credit to the club and to the people that put on that show there the night, the committee and everybody else involved, and the, you know, the chairman, secretary and treasurer of the club and everybody involved in the club. It was a great show. everybody's so happy. And I mean, over 500 people here, and the whole thing over half 10. And thanks to yourself, Austin, you got through it very, very quickly with everybody. And I mean, it just has worked out a treat. Everybody's saying the food, like to thank the Blue Haven for the food and everything else. Unbelievable. So, yeah, it's an emotional night. It's a great night, you know, and it's an honour to say that I'm from Kilcar tonight, because that's as good. And I've been at a lot of dinner lances in a lot of different places. And I think that, have to say, I know I'm a wee bit biased here, but I have to say that's one of the greatest nights so far that I've had.
And when you look back on your playing career as well as your supporting career with Kilcar, this is where you come from, this is home for you. I mean, what are the memories, apart from the medals and the titles, what are the key memories that stand out for you?
Well, suppose they're different memories. I know now to people, the league doesn't mean a whole lot to people now, the local club league. But I remember we went down in holidays, four or five of us, I think Morris Carr was down, Cornelius Dever, John O'Donnell, myself, and someone, I don't know, five of us down in Kerry on holidays. And we drove back up from Kerry to play a club league game in Townie on a Sunday morning, and drove back down again to finish our holidays a week later. So, you know, there was always a passion for our club, and we always had a great graph of this club. And, you know, I mean, there's basically nothing else in the parish, only GEA and everyone's way. The sad thing is, as shows here the night, there's so much emigration and everything else, and it's going to be harder to keep the whole thing going and everything else. You know, we've come out to spell in the guilt in 2 years' time and everything else, so looking forward to it, but the numbers are going to weigh down, and you know, it's tough, which this really proves it the night, the amount of people away from home this year than I think. There's a lot more people away from home here than is here from the club point of view, so that just sums it up where our club is at. And I think there's a lot of other, you know, clubs in the country or in this area, Northwest, will be listening to me on the radio saying the exact same thing. So it is struggling, you know. Rural clubs are struggling at the minute to keep it going, and you know, fair play. I mean, it's all about, the GE. And I think Jarlath Byrne said that tonight and said it very well, you know. This is what it's all about. I mean, we can win medals, as you've said, won everything else, but your club is your club. And I mean, you always said your neighbours and everything else are your neighbours, and the people that look after you and everything else, and your club people, the people look after you. So yeah, it's a great honour. I'm so proud that I ended up growing up in Kilcar, and that mum and dad ended up coming back from England and living here, because it means a lot to us. And it's nothing to do with different names or anything else in the club. This club is about everybody. It's about the smallest person that puts in the same amount of work, because we sometimes get the glory and everything else when you play for the county and everything else, but there has to be people behind you to do that there. And we have got a lot of very, very good people. And I think of Paddy Haughey here tonight, who lined that field over in Townie all the time and was over there all the time lining that field every day, and he was so proud to do that there. And you know, that's what we talked about, voluntary and everything else. This is a very, very good club, considering, you know, considering everything. We've struggled at times and everything else, but considering everything else, forgetting about what we do in the football field, it really is what we do behind the scenes that makes us the club we are. And you know, sometimes, you know, we look at other clubs and be jealous of them. I think we'd be very proud tonight of our own club.
Well, one of Kilcar's most famous managers in the club's history is with me, Ian Hegarty. That breakthrough year of 1980, you were a manager and you won league titles to beat the Ban. I think he went a couple of seasons unbeaten in the league. Ian, on a night like tonight, how proud are you to be a Kilcar man?
I would have to say I'm very proud, particularly when you see so many young people here tonight. Talking about approximately 400 people. People that's away from home for years coming back to be here for this occasion tonight, I have to be really proud.
Can I take you back to your days as Kilcar manager? It seems to me, looking at the record books, you were Mick O'Dwyer and Kevin Heffernan rolled into one. What was your secret?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it was Mick O'Dwyer or Kevin Heffernan, Austin. Nothing. I was always very committed to the GEA and to the Kilcar club. Probably that I'll be very enthusiastic about something that will take you on, that everything will go well, you know.
The celebrations from 1980 must have been magical. It was a big breakthrough success for Kilcar at county level to beat one of your neighbouring clubs, Ardragh. Are the memories still fresh in your mind?
There would be. I remember that Sunday morning, coming down from First Mass at half nine, 20 to 10, I met Martin McHugh coming up the street from Townie, where he was practicing his free taking that morning, and he kicked 10 points in the final then.
Just like that?
Just like that. I knew he was coming from Townie. That's what it is. So we're talking about it afterwards, and it paid, definitely paid that day. He was really brilliant.
And on the club's 100th birthday, finally, you're still a passionate Kilcar supporter?
I would be, yeah. I go to all the matches, and even underage and so on. I'll be very passionate at Kilcar, yeah, very much so.
Kilcar chairperson Michael McShane, a special night for your club at 100.
Absolutely, a fantastic night. It was great to see a great mix of young and old out here. I would like to thank the Centenary Committee, who done a Trojan amount of work. What was put on display here the night was absolutely superb. To the turnout of all the people, and the coverage that we got for on with yourself, Austin, and everybody else, would like to thank you. 100 years is a very, very special thing. For the work, and we don't realise what we have until we see it on screen, until people show us it on video and paper, and the history from 1924, and Danny Gillespie described it to a T, the tough times, the great times, the sad times, but, and more importantly, as he says, at the end of the day, it's all about community, it's all about the parish, it's all about being together, it's all about supporting one another, and that's all we try to do every single day in the parish.
We're talking here in the Blue Haven at the celebration banquet night. Can you remind people listening who maybe weren't here this special weekend what you did at Townie earlier today? You had a day-long programme of celebration and fun.
Yeah, we started off this morning at 10:30, 11 o'clock. We had games from under 6, under 8, under 10s. Then we had... For the youngsters, we had colouring competitions, there was face painting, there was different activities on in the marquee. And then we moved on, then we had ladies, we had a mixture of exiles and people from home and abroad. So, I think there was 60 in total. So we had a great game there. And then at halftime there, we had girls underage at under 6, under 8s. Also at half time. So then we moved on to the men's, the exiles against the locals, but again there was over 65 or 70 players. None of them are playing for the club at the moment. They all have connections with the club. It was absolutely fantastic to see the boys. There were boys home from Australia, there were boys from Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Canada, America, England, Scotland, from all parts and all areas of the world, to see them home. And suppose we didn't see some of them in 5-6 years, but they all came about this weekend for this special event. Then we had underage games, boys games at under 10s, 8s and 10s in the middle at halftime there. So it was all go all day from early morning. And
it brought people out from all corners of the globe, as you've mentioned, some of the countries where people have flown home to be here for this centenary weekend. Were you surprised by the scale of the home return?
We were just overwhelmed. The Centenary Committee, led by James Higgerty, have done an absolutely fantastic job. At the start of the year in January, our PRO, James Byrne, along with Liam McDowell, Paul Dan, Declan Dahl, they have been putting up a video clip every single day, either photographs, video clips, about our history. Every week there was something going up. We've made contacts with nearly everybody all around the world, and the response we got within the first 2 weeks saying that they would be here, we could not believe it. You know, people booked their holidays around this weekend to be here. The whole town is a buzz as last 2 weeks, and especially as last 3 or 4 days. There was graveyard mass last night. As everybody said, we never seen a crowd like it in our lives. So, and even here tonight,
we were expecting maybe 300 people or 350. People are saying now like there are 550, 600 people here, so the place is just, it's a buzz of activity. It's absolutely fantastic.
I must make you a very proud Kilcar chairperson to see that affection for this place, this club.
Yeah, definitely. As we say, to be a member of this club is special. To be a part of this club is special. But to be chairman on this year, centenary year, is extra special for myself, my family. But as we always say, I'm only one person of a committee of 20, you know, and just to be a member of this club is just extra special, you know.
Kilcar GAA Club Chairman Michael McShane, and before that Ian Hegarty, Martin McHugh and Charlie O'Donnell at the club's centenary celebration banquet last weekend. And here's a reminder of the weekend fixtures in the opening round of the Senior Championship in Donegal. The four games on Saturday are St Hunan's against Kilcar in Letterkenny at 4:30. County champions Naomh Connell go to Clonmacnoise at 5:00. Then later on Saturday, St Michael's host Killybegs in Dunfanaghy at 7:00. And in Mount Charles, it's St Noel's against Glenswilly also at 7:00. Then on Sunday, Four Masters at home to Gidore at 2:00. At the same time, Glenfinn play Dunlow. McCool's take on Ardra, and at 4:00 in Father Tierney Park, Éirigh Ballyshannon welcome Downings. The Intermediate Championship begins as well this weekend. The three Sunday games are Termin against Naomh Columba at 2:00, Bundoran against Burt at 2:00, and Arosa at home to Naomh Mura. And the Donegal LGFA Allo Club Championships also start on Sunday morning. Four matches in the Senior Championship: Termin against Glenfinn, Moville against St Noel's, Naomh Connell against Naomh Mura, and St Hunan's against Éirigh. Elsewhere, the Calogs GAA Cool Camp season is drawing to a close locally and around the country. But today in Sligo, a very special Cool Camp finished up at the home of St Mary's GAA Club. The club's third annual Cool Ella Camp caters specifically for players with additional needs. And in a moment, we'll hear from some of the participants at this year's camp in Kent Park in Ballydugan. But first, Maggie Halen, who's the supervisor of the St Mary's Cool Ella Camp.
Every year, Sligo GAA and all the GAA clubs around Ireland have a Cool Camp, but a lot of children with additional needs, they just wouldn't be able to cope with a full week in Cool Camp. So what we've done is a Cool Ella Camp. So basically, it's your Cool Camp on reduced hours, and we have volunteers from our own club and from the Cool Camps. They come in and we do one-to-one with all the children, so they still get their Cool Camp kit and they get their camp for the week.
We're standing here on the 45 metre line at Kent Park in Ballydugan, and we're looking out at how many children?
We have 51 children and their siblings here today with additional needs, and it's amazing to see it. It's a bundle of activity and just happy kids all around. It's great.
It's boys and girls. What are the age ranges here?
The children age from, actually, Limo Gormley has his 21-month-old baby over there running around, right up until 17 years of age. So it's a complete mixture.
And when you say additional needs, what are we talking about? Children with autism?
Yeah, you have children with autism, children with learning disabilities, children who have sight impairments, children with Down syndrome, children with genetic disorders, everything and anything, physical disabilities, everything, anything. We'll take any child.
To my untrained eye, this looks like a normal Cool Camp in the sense that, you know, it's the same level of detail, absolutely. Numbers of coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it is a normal Cool Camp because all our kids, like, they're all well able to enjoy a camp. They just couldn't cope. Like, an ideal Cool Camp has over 150 kids on a busy week. Our kids, like, they love Cool Camps, but some of them just wouldn't be able to cope with the volume. So here it's reduced down, it's spaced out. So they have everything that a Cool Camp has and more.
And how are the participants responding to it?
Well, they're all exhausted, and this is Emma Rose. Hi, Emma Rose. Are you saying hi to Austin? Emma Rose is on her first year of Cool Ella Camp here this year, and she is loving it. She hasn't sat down all week, to be totally honest. She's brilliant. She's loving it.
So they are immersing themselves in it.
Yeah.
And as well as all the drills and the games and the activity you have here, you also have a quiet space as well for those who need a little breakout time.
Absolutely, and we have our sensory tent, and we actually don't have it up today because the children have been so adjusted to being here that they don't actually need it this week, which is an added bonus. Yeah, we have a sensory space. It's great, like every child, we have 51 kids here. We have about 25 to 30 of those are here every Saturday morning for All-Stars training. So they know the pitch, they know the setup. Some of them are coming in for the other All-Star groups from Kerry and from Shamrock Gales as well. So they all know roughly what the setup will be. So it's just great, like it's brilliant.
Well, let's have a word with one of the cool Ella Camp players here, Rory McKeown. What's your club, Rory?
Eastern Harps.
Eastern Harps, and they wear green and white jerseys, is that right?
Yeah, green and white. My brother plays with Eastern Harps. A big final tonight, I hope we'll win by 2 points against St Mary's. I hope we'll go down the cage and get some kind of curry, but I hope we'll win.
Right, well, you're marking Niall Murray of St Mary's here very tightly while we're doing this interview. Tell me about what you've been doing here in Kent Park this week. What sort of things have you been doing?
We were doing the parachutes yesterday. We were shooting goals. We went to the... What was it called now? It was called the...
We were doing tug of war.
Tug of war.
Did you win the tug of war?
We did, yeah. Yeah.
You're strong out in Eastern Harps, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And do you enjoy this now? Are you enjoying the day?
Yeah, we are, yeah. Well, yeah. It was a good day, you know. It was a good day yesterday. It was a good day. A good 2 days, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Niall?
That was a very good couple of days, Rory. Yeah, very, very enjoyable. I think everybody had good fun.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
What's been the best bit? What's been your favourite part of the week?
My favourite part of the week was Mary's all day. I really love football. Like, I really want to go back again because I really love football and golf.
And golf? You like golf, do you?
Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah.
And in football, where do you play? Are you a goalkeeper or do you play in the forwards or in the backs?
Well, I go to midfield.
Midfield? Oh, you must be fast and strong, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You also asked, maybe asking me, you also played for Sligo Rovers.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
At the showgrounds?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big thrill, I'd say, was it?
Well, we were at the showgrounds with my friends from Sligo Rovers. We were doing a Derry City game in Ireland, and Jamie was our coach, and we were doing a futsal team, and back in the day, we were down for a match against Shams, and we won 2-0.
You won 2-0? So you're good at soccer, you're good at Gaelic football, you're good at golf.
Yeah.
How many sports do you play, Rory?
You play about 60 minutes, 45 minutes.
Good man. Well, we'll let you get back training, so.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to us.
Good man.
Thank you.
What is your name?
Owen Burke.
And where are you from, Owen?
Tubbercurry.
And you have the Sligo jersey on you?
Yes.
Are you enjoying the week?
I am.
What's the best thing about the week? What's the
Everything.
Best thing?
Everything.
Everything?
Yeah.
Do you like playing football?
Yes, I do.
Where do you play on the football pitch? Are you a forward or a back?
I'm not a footballer. I just do the training.
You do all the training? Good man. But you enjoy it?
Yeah.
And do you like Tubbercurry too?
I do.
Good man. What age are you on?
13.
13. Good man. So you might play football when you're grown up too, will you?
Yes, I might.
Good man.
So my name is Ethan McDonough, and I live in River Road.
Ethan, are you enjoying the camp, Ethan?
Yeah. Why? Yes.
What's the best bit about the camp? What's your favourite thing here?
I just got. So I'm going to I'm going to London and I'm going to visit Legoland Resort and a Harry Potter studio.
Harry Potter studio, that's a lucky trip to get, isn't it? And Legoland.
Yes.
And Legoland. You're going to be busy in September, so.
Yeah, I am.
And will you keep playing football?
Well,
some of the time.
Yeah, well, some of the time.
What is your name?
Emma.
Emma. What age are you, Emma?
Six.
And are you playing football? What sort of games do you play here?
Games.
Did you score a goal?
No.
Did you run fast?
I didn't play football.
You're enjoying it? Thank you, Emma. Well, Conor Conway, chairman of St Mary's GA Club, this is your third year of the Cool Ella Camp. Could you have foreseen it would become this successful?
No, Austin, there's a simple answer to that. Seeing the huge numbers, over 50 children with special needs here, and even the coaches as well, so from the Cool Camp coaches, our own coaches, to some of our own volunteers, it's massive. And like, people come from all other clubs. Maggie just said there's a young lad here from Killaw, like, so it's the reach and seeing all the kids engage is unbelievable.
Yeah. And while we're here in Kent Park, it's ostensibly a county-wide Cool Camp at this stage, given the other visiting clubs who are here.
Absolutely, like, it's open to anyone. When you see what the kids are getting out of it, that's what it's all about. Providing the facility for them to come have a bit of fun and engage.
And it's for children and players with additional needs. I suppose it gives coaches a newfound appreciation when you see these kids and how they engage and immerse themselves in a camp like this.
Absolutely, like, a lot of the coaches here are 18, 19 years of age, like, and it's opening their eyes to what families are dealing with and like how they're dealing with the children. Like, when you're here to see it, it's unbelievable.
Well, let's have a chat with one of the Cool Ella Camp coaches here, Lewis Carr. Lewis, what has the week been like?
That's been savage crack. Like, it's, you know, it's great, I suppose, to see the kids like get so much from it, enjoyment. You know, as I was saying to you earlier, you know, there was one of the children I met at the start of the week, and I hadn't done, you know, keep you up, he's properly, and he has me there now, he's placing the ball under my foot and I'm doing them, and it's great, you're building that bond, and you're seeing, you know, suddenly maybe the child who was a wee bit nervous and apprehensive and wouldn't necessarily talk as much as you might expect out of a, you know, a typical child or a typical child, is opening up to you, and you're building that bond, even if it's not traditional communication in terms of words, you're seeing the smile and the joy and that sort of communication. It's great to see.
And the coaches seem to get a real kick out of it, as well as the players themselves.
Oh yeah, like, you know, it's, I suppose it's great because all these children here want to be happy, and it's such a lovely mindset that maybe you don't see in every day, that just the sole pursuit of happiness. And because we're trying to make the children happy, and they're so easy to make happy, it you get that buzz and you get that happiness out of the work.
You have a unique perspective on what's happening here this week. There's Emma trying to play tag with you. But you have a unique perspective. You have autism yourself, so you have a wavelength here.
I do, and I suppose to an extent that's an advantage, because I can kind of understand that maybe that outpouring emotion isn't necessarily a negative one. It's just there's so much going on, you know, there's so much noise and there's so much activity that it maybe overwhelming isn't the right word, but definitely it's a lot to take in. When you can understand that from the child's perspective, you can almost take that and you can be like, okay, maybe they're not enjoying the match, we can go out and we can practice a bit of shooting by ourselves first, and then we might see the excitement in the match and go back then later.
Lewis Carr, one of the Sligo GAA coaches, assisting with the Cool Ella Camp at St Mary's in Sligo this week. Well, on the club front in women's football, we're moving straight into the start of the club championships in Donegal this weekend. And in Sligo, the 2024 Connacht Gold Adult Club Championships were officially launched in the Clayton Hotel last week. A few tweaks to the senior and intermediate championships in the Yates County this year. Four clubs will now contest each grade. There'll be no crossover, unlike previous seasons, so the intermediate teams won't play up. The four senior teams in the Connacht Gold Championship will be St Nate, these are the holders, Turla Stran, Owen Rua and St Mary's. In the Intermediate Championship, it's going to be CT Gales, Giva, Drumcliff Ross's Point and Eastern Harps. For both the Senior and Intermediate, it'll be a round-robin phase, with the top two teams at the end of the group stage contesting the respective county finals. Let's hear from members of all the competing clubs now, beginning with the four Connacht Gold Senior Championship sides.
Fiona Feeney, Owen Rua. Okay. Molly Kennedy, Turla Stran.
Hannah Walsh, St. Nathie's.
Yeah. Emily Nicholson, St. Mary's.
Okay. Right, well, I suppose I'll start with the defending champions. I've lost count now. Is it six or seven in a row you're going for, Hannah Walsh?
Yes, six. We're going for seven. Yeah, I suppose we're going for seven, but we're very well aware that the cups are handed back now and it's anyone's game. So, yeah, it can be any of us that are here.
You've had a dartboard on your back for a few seasons now, but you seem to be able to stay standing at the end of the championship. What's the secret?
Yeah, we're very lucky. We have a great group of girls there, and to be honest, I think it's just hard work. Every single one, there's over 50 girls there between the girls and management. I can honestly say it's just hard work is what gets us over the line every year.
Okay. And Molly, Turla Stran, one of the clubs who will be gunning to try and dislodge St. Nathie's from their perch. How are Tullochstrand shaping up ahead of this summer's championship?
It's all kind of coming together now, like over the winter and coming into the summer months. Everyone in Sligo were fighting for pitches and places to train, so we're coming back into it now, getting our girls back from the county set up, and we're all starting to come together, I think.
And I'm guessing that includes some very talented minor footballers. Ciara Walsh, the Sligo captain, brought a lot of razzmatazz and silverware to Tullochstrand last weekend. Can you use the glow of that to generate momentum for the senior team?
Well, Ciara is the winning captain, but we've known for years since she came from America when she was underage that she had something special, and we're so lucky that she's with us. But yeah, I suppose her experience from the people she's played and the teams she's played outside of Connacht and all through the All-Ireland series she has that under her belt, and she'll definitely be welcomed back.
I remember Tullochstrand a couple of years ago reaching an All-Ireland club final. So, like, the tools are there in the camp. Is it just about having everybody available to have a right crack at a championship?
Yeah, there's a lot of us. I was on the panel that year as well, but there's a lot of us that are still on that panel that was there in 2018. And we were just incredibly lucky to have that year, even though we did come out with a loss in the end. But like, it was such an experience that you'll never forget.
Let me bring in Emily Nicholson from St. Mary's. You have established yourselves now as a challenging senior team. You're quietly building there at Kent Park in recent seasons.
Yeah, we've been there or thereabouts for the past few years. We've new management the past 2 years. So last year came with a lot of learnings, kind of changes. So we're hoping this year we could get over the line.
And it's a group of four, so you're trying to finish in the top two and get to a county final. The equation looks simple enough on paper.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be less games. So yeah, we need to obviously make the most of every game this time. And hopefully we get straight through to a final.
And I'll bring in Owen Rua as well, who intermediate champions last year. Which was a pretty special championship run for you guys.
It was, yeah. We were delighted with how intermediate went last year first, when we progressed on to Connacht. Not so delighted, but you have that too.
Well, the one thing, Fiona, Owen Rua have always struck me as a very ambitious club, because they have, you know, they have worked their way up the ranks, and I'm sure winning a senior championship is on somebody's ambition list somewhere in West Sligo.
It's on everyone's ambition list, I'd say, in West Sligo anyways. To win a senior title would be some achievement. We had a good run last year, and I suppose now into senior will be tougher, difficult more.
And I know you had a good run of the Connacht Club Championship, narrowly beaten by Ballinamore, Shauna Heslin's in the provincial, if I'm right. And I always remember they still talk about the Owen Rua game as the making of them to their All-Ireland final run.
Yeah, the Ballinamore, the Shauna Heslin's game is a touchy subject for me now, yet still.
You're still getting over that one, are you?
I'm not over it yet, I suppose.
But can you use that experience? I mean, maybe you have to lose a couple to win a couple. Can that galvanise Owen Rua, that it adds to your experience list now?
Oh, absolutely. Look, we'll take a lot from that game last year. We have a lot of mistakes. We have a lot of things to learn to take from that game. It was difficult for us, but I'm sure it will stand to us in senior championship this year.
And just a final thought, girls, on the format of the championship, the four teams. Is that easier, harder? Would you like more variety in terms of the teams you're playing? Or maybe it's the quality is going to be good. The top four senior clubs in the county are going to go hammer and tongs at it. Do Nathies have a view on that?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, for all of us, I think we can say the more games we have, the better. It's just unfortunate the minute the way things are in Sligo that there is lesser clubs even in senior, but going down to junior C, but I mean, we all know each other quite well. We know what we're working with, we know what we're against, so just have to make the most of it and go for it.
And does familiarity breed contempt or not?
Why are you asking me? So I suppose we always are quite familiar with the top teams. St. Mary's seem to always be up against Nathies and Tullochstrand in the end, but Owen Rua are definitely one of the ones that we fear now, and I think it would be a really, really good group, and the games are going to be excellent. They're going to be a really high standard. They're going to be good for the spectators, so I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and the fact that there has been this underage success, you've all known about it in your own clubs for a few years now, but now there is a national title. Like, does that create a feel-good factor for the senior, more established clubs and players around the place, do you think?
Of course it does. It shows that Sligo is it's thereabouts. It gives a good standing point for girls to show that what Sligo can do if they put their minds to it.
And whatever happens in the championship, Molly, finally, you'll still talk to one another afterwards, won't you?
Oh God, yeah, I went to school with half an atheist, so we'll have to end up talking to each other all the time, and that's the curse. But anyway, it's all right.
My name's Amy McGovern, I'm from Eastern Harps GAA Club.
Gemma Brahany, Giva.
Sinead Forkin, CT Gales.
Dervla Ross, CT Gales.
Avril Clancy, Drumcliff, Ross's Point.
And Elaine Flanagan, Drumcliff, Ross's Point.
Well, Gemma, you've come down from senior. I've always associated Giva with being those teams knocking on the door, the senior championship door, but does it give you a chance to recalibrate this year?
Oh yeah, I'd say we're definitely not finished knocking yet. We're rebuilding. Every day is game day for us, so whatever we can do to get our work our way back up to the top.
There was lots of great GA passion in Highwood last year and Giva with the One Good Club initiative, etc. So can you harness that sort of feel-good factor for this year for the championship?
Yeah, I mean, the team, like, we're all feeling very optimistic. We're putting the effort in at training. We're all doing what we can, doing our own bit, and just we can feel all the good energy coming in, and we can feel we're put it into our games.
Dervla, CT Gales, are you confident? We know you have a developing, talented group of footballers out there in South Sligo. Is it about to come together now?
Yeah, I'd say we're confident. I mean, we won our championship last year, and we're definitely building this year. We have a league final next weekend, so we're definitely confident for the stepping stone going up. We've been building well this year.
Yeah. And a couple of talented minors coming up behind you who won All-Ireland titles last weekend. Is that a help at training?
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, it's great to get them girls back in. You know, we, Cara and Kate there on the minor team, and it's great to get them back in for championship now and this lot in no problem into our team and, you know, give that boost that we need going forward.
And Amy, what about Eastern Harps? Do you like it's a four-team group? It's sharp and intense?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, it's very, like, short and intense, like, but it will be good, like, just to have an action-packed month. Three games, like, and no doubt the girls will put it up to us as well, but we're, like, good numbers of training and everything, and there's a good spirit among us, so looking forward to it.
And you're familiar enough with these teams. You've played each other often enough in recent seasons.
Yeah, no, definitely. So we know... We have an idea of what we're up against, and we know it won't be easy, but looking forward to it now.
And as for Drumcliff Ross's Point, you had a good year, but a strange year last year in terms of you contested two county finals, Avril, senior and intermediate. I know the results didn't go the way you wanted, but is it more straightforward? You can concentrate on an intermediate championship this time around?
I think it does make it easier, yeah. To just put your mind on one and work hard towards one goal for this year is enough. It was... disappointing end of the season last year, but I think we're definitely more determined this year to win intermediate, and that's where our focus is. Yeah.
But you and other clubs showed you could make the jump up and compete with the senior teams last year.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely have good fight, and we're quite the youthful team, which is great, and it's great to see such a standard of footballers coming up, even from teenagers right up to the girls closer to our own age. Well, oldies, as we call ourselves, but yeah.
You're not that old yet.
Not compared to some, but no, yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be a good year this year. Yeah.
And Elaine, you're involved with the junior team at Drumcliff Ross's Point as well. And we're seeing the benefit of clubs with two teams, whether it's Own Rua, CT Gales, etc., yourselves, and St. Nathie's. Having that bigger pool of players is obviously helping players develop.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to see, like, you're getting the younger girls playing up into junior, and it's their first experience playing senior football, and it's really good for even the development of your senior team, because we now have great competition in our club to see who's going to make this starting 15 for the championship. Like, it really makes such a difference, and it's really good to get experience for the younger girls as well.
And a last question, guys, for anyone who wants to answer it. I mean, it's four teams in the intermediate championship, so that's a delight from a fixtures point of view. You'll all play three games in the top two into the county final. Would you like more variety than that in an ideal world, Gemma?
Yeah, I think every game is an opportunity to learn something new, do something different, try out new tactics, something like that. So I suppose it would be great, considering how many teams are in it, if we could play a bit more of each other. Yeah. Even throughout the year, not just in championship. Yeah. I think all across the league, ACL, everything.
So what, kind of a bigger league where you'd be playing a bigger variety of teams during the year, if that was feasible in terms of... Would that work? What do you think?
Well, not even a league, but having games throughout the summer, because there's a big drought of games, because the last league game was in May, and
there might have been one ACL game in the middle of that. Like, yeah. it's a big drought with no games. Okay. And you're going straight into the championship, then no games. Like, it's kind of, even if you had two or three ACL games, get you going before the championship, learn a few things.
Okay. So you want matches. I mean, I know you enjoy training, but you want games.
Yeah, well, you definitely need games to build on your experience and stuff. You know, there's nothing more valuable to a team than playing football games instead of training.
And a challenge match isn't quite the same thing, is it?
I suppose it's not. Like, to some extent it is, but it's all about what you put into it. And you just kind of you hope that girls, and I'm sure girls do, put all in into challenge games to get the results that you look forward to going into championship.
And to finish, the fact that there is an All-Ireland minor title in the county at inter-county level, which is quite a scalp by any standards, not every county has that, does that help the adult players? Does it put a pep in your step, do you think, Amy, going into the Summers Championship?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great experience, like, for the girls themselves. Like, to get to an All-Ireland final is just such an achievement. But to get our spirits up as well, like, to get our backs behind them as well, it's great to see them achieve such a big thing at such a young age as well.
Kiva's Gemma Breheny, Amy McGovern of Eastern Harps, the City Gales duo of Dervla Ross and Sinead Forkin, and Drumcliff Ross's points, Elaine Flanagan and Avril Clancy there. A reminder, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, simply search for Ocean FM Sport to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.